Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app and hit subscribe.
Mistletoe and wine, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betfair. The top two face off at Anfield in the Nuno Forest, host Bournemouth. It's Friday 22nd of December. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Andy Brassel.
It's Friday, everybody, and it's the last Friday before Christmas, Jim. Mm-hmm. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Remember when that commentator did that because it was the League One playoffs? Yeah. He basically said, it's the most wonderful time of the year, the League One playoff final.
I thought you were going to get involved in the sing-song.
I could do. I mean, that's probably for the patrons, I think.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I think you want me to sing. You have to pay me these days.
Maybe we'll save it for the mailbag tomorrow.
That'd be lovely.
That would be lovely.
Maybe get your questions in. What Christmas song do you want Marcus and I to sing? And we'll do it. Like, yeah. Bublé. I'll be the raptor, you be Bublé.
Yeah, indeed. You do enjoy hunting people down, don't you? Well, before we get into the show, we do have an exciting announcement, everybody. Starting next Friday, we are giving you, yes, you, the chance to win a brand new 50-inch Toshiba Fire QLED TV. Can you imagine such a thing, Andy?
Yeah, I've got one.
Oh, Andy's
doesn't need to imagine it.
Well, do you want to be like Andy Brassel?
Then exactly.
Tune in how you can win.
Yeah, we're not just giving one of the buggers away. We're giving away three of the things. So if a free 50-inch TV sounds like a good way to kick off 2024 to you, then listen out for details of how to enter. All will be revealed on next Friday's show. It is a step towards becoming Andy Brassel.
Yeah. Absolutely. But the good parts of him.
Yes, exactly.
Not the boring bits. We've all got boring bits, Andy.
No, that's the next competition. Stop giving it away.
Yeah. What are your boring bits?
Oh, how long have you got? You want to see them?
Interesting would be the word I would use to describe that quite correctly. Well, gentlemen, Crystal Palace versus Brighton, 1-1, wasn't boring, wasn't a classic, but I don't think boring would be the right word to describe it, Jim.
No, absolutely not. But it had some moments in it. It was nearly, in a way, the game of the season right at the end, with Danny Welbeck nearly accidentally scoring off of his face.
Yeah.
Against their rivals.
Against their inexplicable rivals.
And this was a lovely little Christmas. It was almost like the Premier League was like, we're gearing up to Christmas. Have a little bonus present. Yeah. A Thursday night rivalry game between Crystal Palace and Brighton.
Yeah.
And it'll be 1-1, let's be honest.
Yeah, as it always is.
Yeah. But it was
fifth time in a row that fixture's been 1-1.
That's wild. That is wild.
The thing is, Palace Brighton is always really engaging. And the score never describes what has actually gone on in the game as well. It's always a complete fib.
Well, what should the score have been, Andy?
In your view?
It should have had more, and Brighton should have won.
Mm. I think that was the general vibe. I mean, De Zerbi seemed to be a touch disappointed with the point, and Hodgson was delighted with the point.
But that's the thing, isn't it? Often the dominant team in these games don't win it. I mean, even when, like, say if you go back to the...
Well, no one wins it by the sound of it.
Because it's always 1-1. Well, because the thing is that them playing each other all the time is like a relatively new thing. Because if you go back like sort of 15 years, Brighton were really struggling, as everyone knows. They were in a bad place. Palace were in the top two divisions. And so this is like a rivalry that they're still... I guess both teams, fans of both teams are still fully getting their teeth into. And there's so much that goes on in this game that the score never properly describes it. And I think even if you go back to, like, I guess the first real big one of modern Palace Brighton. You think of the 2013 Championship semi-final playoff where nothing happened in the first game, everything happened in the second game, and Wilfried Zaha, who was just about to join Man United at the time, just like picked them off with his absolute brilliance at the end.
And
Brighton were like, how the fuck did that happen?
Didn't Ian Holloway
and there's
on
a lot of the teams going, how did that happen? You can think of in this fixture a couple of years back, you know, when Maupay scored that big dipper equaliser.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just absolutely from nowhere. I just remember Patrick Vieira's face.
Andy, going back to this playoffs, you've really skirted over this important issue. Didn't Ian Holloway step on a jobby in the changing Remember that?
Yeah, that might have been a story at the time. Yeah.
There was chat about there being some sort of excrement in the away dressing room, which was quite poor. But Ian Holloway did that little dance, didn't he?
Yeah. Did he have bare feet on?
No,
that would have been a
shame. How quickly things can change.
I told you once I got offered potentially to do a show about metal detecting with Ian Holloway.
Oh, yeah.
In his caravan. In his caravan.
Why on earth did you not take that?
I obviously said yes, but it didn't manifest itself.
Why you?
I don't know, because I was doing radio at the time and it was like a radio thing.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and it was like, oh, Ian Holloway likes to go metal detecting in his caravan.
But anyone want to go with him? Yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I said yes. For the record, everyone, I said yes.
Yeah, but I think if you say yes, then you rule yourself out.
I didn't even ask for a fee.
Mm.
I was like, where'd you need me? What time?
You've got to be paid in coins, but, you know, Holloway may pinch that from you.
Maybe all he ever finds is turds.
Yeah.
Or maybe based on what you're saying.
Maybe you have to find the fee.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, that's it. You get to keep what you find.
Yeah.
That'd be fine.
Yeah, that's true. Well, yes. Brighton often score late equalisers in this game. I mean, Neil Maupay leaps to mind, of course. Speaking of leaping, Danny Welbeck with that great header to get the equaliser. Glenn Murray told him after the game on Sky that he's becoming a real salmon in the box.
I like it.
Becoming.
Like
33.
Yeah.
I love this idea that he's really, you know, starting to get to grips with the game at the top level.
Well, salmon famously do like leap out of rivers to go to the place before they die, right? So, I mean, maybe...
Well, yeah, fair.
It kind of makes... I'm not saying Welbeck's going to die. I've got no information on that.
It's a bit fatalistic. Yeah. I wonder if, like, Danny Welbeck is due a really big 30s because he missed so much of his 20s.
Could be.
So maybe he's got more in the tank. Maybe he ends up playing until he's, like, 37, 38. I mean, I'd like to see it.
Well, there are strikers around who have enjoyed very, very good years in later parts of their career.
And are you saying he should go to Serie A?
Well, I mean, Marcus... That would be good, wouldn't it?
Luca Toni leaps to mind.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Leaps.
Yeah, very good.
And you say, Brighton score late goals and stuff. Crystal Palace seem to always concede late on as well.
Yeah.
I think they're the worst in the Premier League for goals after the 75th minute or something. So,
how about that?
So, yeah, it's not a huge surprise.
I mean, both sides aren't being particularly punchy at the moment. 2 wins in 12 for Brighton, 1 win in 11 for Palace. Brighton also failed to keep a clean sheet in their last 22 league games.
They're all about Europe now. They're big time, aren't they?
Yeah,
that's their thing, that they seem to always score, but they don't have a very good record in keeping the ball out of net. I'll tell you, he was also good last night. Pascal Gross, my guy. He was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently, only Mesut Özil, he's the only German who has more goal involvements, as we call them nowadays.
In
the Premier League.
He's going to end up being a main piece for Germany in Euro 2024.
Is he really?
No,
that's great.
Doubt about it.
That is great to hear.
They love him.
Not when they knock out England.
I was about to
but
say.
But apart from that, it's great to hear.
Yeah, he's going to lead the chant. It's calming.
Or he's going to do that thing. He's going to score a winner to put England out, and he's going to do that celebration that Andy Moller did in Euro 96.
Still
remember?
Strutting around.
Yeah. Realistically, he's just going to have a good group stage. Mm. That's the way he's going for Germany.
Or Jude Bellingham might crush them all.
Yeah, that would be great. Like little ants.
But Roy Hodgson, though, on the other side of the ledger, he has denied laughing at Pep Guardiola and said he was laughing at an entirely unrelated matter. It was a joke he said earlier.
It's like when you're mucking about with, like, you getting in trouble with your sibling or something, your mum says to stop it, and you're not allowed to laugh, and they say you're laughing, you go, I'm telling jokes to myself or whatever.
That's
Roy Hodgson saying that, like, in his 70s.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, come on, though. He's, do you actually think he was laughing at Guardiola?
I don't know.
I think even from the angle we saw it from, it didn't look like
that. I don't think he was, but I think that.
But Hodgson, we all hope so.
Oh, of course.
Hodgson has some funny faces at times, doesn't he?
He does. Yeah. He said, unfortunately, as a high profile figure, if someone was clever enough to catch me in a photograph, they can put whatever caption they like. If you want to put the record straight, that was it. Why would I want to laugh at Pep Guardiola? I really don't know.
Yeah, I think he was kind of like just looking around at the situation.
And they go, no, this is typical. What a crazy thing, kind of thing.
Yeah. I don't think he was going, you bald fraud. But it would be brilliant if he was.
Maybe he thought that Pep was his egg.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His egg.
It's just nice to see it ready to pop.
His egghead. Maybe.
But then he belonged, like Roy Hodgson had lost an egg and he went, there it is.
Yeah, he's now, isn't he? He's now.
Oh, is he? Sorry, everybody. Sorry.
We got there in the end, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
I like the idea of you thinking that Roy Hodgson just really likes eggs.
Just thinking. You never tell if it's Christmas or Easter.
Imagine if Roy Hodgson. Imagine if Crystal Palace scored that equaliser against Man City.
What have I done?
The camera pound to Roy, and he's just sitting on Pep, sitting on the shed, like incubating his head.
What reason I would have to incubate Pep Guardiola, I don't know.
Oh, brilliant.
Were you sitting on Pep's head? Let's not take the piss here. Oh, dear. So, yeah, a point for Palace.
That's a good Roy impression.
I liked it.
Very good.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Well, of course, that game is done and dusted, but we've got more Premier League games. We've got one tonight, for crying out loud. We've also got one on Saturday.
We do.
At 17:30, military time, as the Americans like to call it. 5:30, of course, to you and I. Liverpool hosting Arsenal. My goodness. And of course, Luke and Jim, two people that I have my hands on their legs right now, are recording a Ramble React straight after the game. So keep an eye out for that on Saturday night or while you're doing your Christmas Eve shopping. We know what you like out
there.
I mean,
I know what Jim's thinking. Arsenal better win this game or it's just going to be the most tedious shift he's ever done.
Essentially
the night before Christmas Eve, should have done all my wrapping by then. It should be really nice and festive, and I will be taking bullets from Luke Moore in my own living room.
Not if Arsenal win like 3-0.
So get on it then, Arsenal. Yeah.
That's the biggest game of the season for that reason.
Yeah, well, because Liverpool reached the semi-finals of the Carabao Cup on Wednesday, and that's probably as far as they're going to go in the contest, of course, or the competition.
Well, because they're playing football. We talked about it on the React, didn't we?
Yeah, no, I'm definitely not gutted about that.
No, you didn't sound at the time.
No, I didn't want Middlesbrough.
Nah, definitely not.
Yeah.
Two legs, though, mate. As you said, that's Klopp. A lot of opportunities to get it right, if I remember rightly.
Jürgen Klopp wasn't happy with the atmosphere at Anfield, though, was he?
That's what I'm saying. So Klopp might actually, it might backfire and Fulham might take advantage.
Mm-hmm. We need Anfield, he said.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit Pep Guardiola. You know how sometimes he has a bit of disdain for the crowd at the Etihad? I can't remember Klopp doing this before. I mean, he may well have done. Forgive me if I'm missing something.
Is it because they've both come from German football where it's like pretty intense all the time?
Yeah, but they haven't come from German football yesterday, have they?
No, they should know it by now.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing I thought, so when you talk about Pep saying it, Pep says it in this kind of weird way because he's obviously quite an odd character. The way Jürgen Klopp said it was almost like, maybe it's a breakdown in communication because he's speaking English as a second language, but he wasn't saying, come on everyone, let's band together.
No, he wasn't.
He's basically saying, like, if you don't fancy it, give your ticket to someone else.
Well, the quote is, if it is too much football in December, and I thought, oh, he's talking about players here and and that, you know, maybe they need a bit of a G-up, as you say. They need a bit more. No, he says, if it's too much football in December, if you are not in the right shape, give your ticket to someone else.
Can I just say, that there is someone who has not bought a football ticket recently.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
It's just not that easy, is it?
Look, I understand that. I think this is probably a little bit of weird sort of internal gamesmanship, a little bit of internal mind games to make sure the crowd is really, really G'd up for Arsenal on Saturday. Because actually last season, until Granit Xhaka made a needless foul on Trent Alexander-Arnold, it was a little bit quiet, actually.
And Manchester United, the recent game, I mean, Neville said it was the worst atmosphere.
Absolutely.
Team
and it, like, that atmosphere when it's really, really pumping is like a sort of legitimate 12th man, isn't it? But I think that quote in particular sort of crosses a line, really. It's hard to overstate what a precious thing a football ticket is. Even if you're a season ticket holder and you go regularly, like, it is something that brings so much joy to your life and to your everyday.
Depends on your support, yeah.
Of course, but you know, with a team like Liverpool, that is it's a huge, huge thing to sort of dismiss attendance as if it's something that people will give up on a whim and aren't that bothered about in the first place. Is a bit rich.
Yeah, I think he's got
it
wrong.
Is the term.
He's obviously trying to rally the troops and all that, and I understand that. But you know, he's just got it wrong here, quite simply. And I know Liverpool; they've had an awful lot of success recently, won a lot of cups and trophies. And of course, when a team wins a lot more, then the standards and the expectations increase. I wouldn't, from what the little I know, because I've hardly ever been to Anfield, they seem to still keep that atmosphere up.
Yeah.
You know, I actually, you know, give them all the credit in the world, because they could become very expectant, and of course they are. To an understandable degree, so I'm surprised I'm a bit surprised.
Well,
if I was Mikel Arteta, I'd be thinking mind games.
No, but I think this is what it is from Klopp's point of view. He's trying to make guarantee that the crowd is really up and really really intense on Saturday, because that is something that's got into Arsenal's heads before. It's something Mikel Arteta has mentioned before, like he went through it as a player. He had that situation a few seasons ago where they played the crowd noise from Anfield in training. Klopp knows that's the thing that Arsenal were vulnerable to and that gets to them. So I think he's trying to guarantee.
Yeah, if I'm Mikel Arteta, I would join in the mind game and go, no, we really like that. That'll help us if the Anfield crowd's really loud.
Well, would you say it like that?
Yeah. Wink, wink. We are filming this, Mikel.
He's a calm and measured individual, so I'm sure it'll be fine.
I'm sure.
The one thing I did enjoy from the interview was Jurgen Klopp saying "smash them" when describing
Man
what
United.
They should have done against Man United?
Yeah, so he did say he said that oh, maybe it's because we played Man United and we didn't smash them, which is weird.
No, I liked it.
I liked it as well. The fact is that he didn't say we didn't beat them or put in a big performance. He was like, smash them, because he knows they're a bit crap at the moment.
Yeah, we're utterly smashable.
Yeah.
I mean, this is also set against the recent history of him getting annoyed with that interviewer about the 12:30 kickoff, right?
He does appear like really generally crotchety this season.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's, I guess, an underlining of, is there too much football? Yeah, because he's not getting enough sleep.
Yeah, I guess probably not.
It's
a barely suppressed petulance at the best of times, isn't
it? Yeah, well, this week marked Mikel Arteta's fourth anniversary as Arsenal manager, which is quite something. You think, blimey, he's been that long.
That makes him officially the longest serving Arsenal manager.
And like the replay of...
We all agree on that.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you agree as well, do tweet us to congratulate us with that.
It's beautiful. I think the replay, Jim, of his opening press conference as Arsenal coach this week.
I don't remember what it was.
He explains how he's going to change the culture at the club, and you know, you're either on board or
John Cross is laughing at him.
But it's amazing. Like, looking at it now, and you're thinking, he actually sat up there and said that stuff, and they're in a right state, and he's done all of it. Wow. He's like talked it into existence, like Mourinho. It's amazing.
Like, Rishi Sunak's five pledges. Next.
Yeah. Now, he spoke a lot about standards, didn't he? And almost sort of implied that if you didn't buy into his non-negotiables and that sort of thing, you'd be out.
Yeah.
And we've seen it happen.
That's exactly what they needed.
Players.
That's what they needed.
Absolutely what they needed.
Yeah, it's like a Spanish guy voicing Dave Bassett going, you know, get fit, because if you don't fit, do it, you won't be fucking playing, will you?
Yeah, exactly.
It's basically
it's
that.
Exactly like that.
Yeah.
Arsenal haven't won at Anfield in 11 years.
I know. Yeah, it's a massive.
Call it a bogey grip.
Well, yeah. I mean, to say the least, it's a huge, huge thing.
They came close last time.
They did come close last time, but from 2-0 up.
So, oddly, yeah, though, you're right to say they came close, but in other sense, they were lucky to get out of there with a point.
At the end of it, they were.
It was
such
a strange
mad
match.
Game, really mad game. But yeah, this is going to be an interesting one. I think you may remember last season. Alex Zinchenko was at fault for Liverpool's equaliser before Roberto Firmino's goal, and he'll be playing again. I think that will be a potential area to watch. Salah versus Zinchenko. I imagine Declan Rice will be kind of popping in to try and help out with that situation, because in the game at the Emirates last season, he chose Tomiyasu over Zinchenko, and he did a really good job up against Salah one-on-one. I think that would have been the plan this season as well. That was really the first time we saw Tomiyasu play left-back in a high-profile game, if I can remember rightly. And he's used him there a lot since, but he's obviously out injured now. So that is that's going to be an interesting area if you are Mo Salah.
It's always an interesting area if Mo Salah's there, of course. Arsenal have the best disciplinary record in the Premier League so far.
That is surprising.
It is surprising, considering that they've had 2 red cards.
Yeah, and also given that their coach is a maniac.
Well, I think that's why it's surprising, right?
Yeah.
Because we're thinking about the dugout.
Do you reckon he's just drawing all the attention?
Well, I think so.
23 yellows and 2 reds. Arteta's got 18 of those yellows.
One of those reds. And 3 car park fights as well. Yeah. Which, to be fair to him, he is undefeated.
He is. Absolutely, in those car park fights. There are a lot of players this season who are, of course, one booking away from having Boxing Day off. Keep your eyes on them.
Yes.
Do keep your eyes on them.
The Kevin Nolan prize.
Yeah. Darwin Nunez is the only player on that list who will be playing in this game.
Thing is, I can't root for that. No. I can't root for him to sort of give away a penalty and get a silly yellow card, because if he does that, it will also score like a hat-trick of deflections.
Yeah. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I can't imagine Darwin Nunez thinking, oh, I could get Boxing Day off here.
No.
I just think he's just thinking football, yeah, chase definitely. That ball.
Christian Romero's on that list as well, and you know he's got no idea he's on the list. No idea he's even going to be suspended if he gets another booking.
Yeah. He just thinks that he gets Boxing Day off every year. Oh yeah, I do that. No, it's because. But what do you think about this game, Luke? I mean, it's a huge one at the top of the table, of course, Liverpool versus Arsenal. And
I think
that you'd say, because of their home form, Anfield, Liverpool would be slight favourites, perhaps.
Yeah, and the West Ham game, West Ham were poor. We talked about that on Wednesday. What's probably more indicative, and it's a Carabao Cup game, slightly different, but what's more indicative is the Man United, the game against Manchester United, where Man United were really, really poor. Some people would say, you know, they played the way they played on purpose and they got what they wanted. You know, if that's what they want, I mean, I feel for Man United fans for the rest of the season. But on the Liverpool side of things, they were very disjointed. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't remember who it was who was saying it. We were in the studio and someone was saying it was like Salah and Szoboszlai had never played together before. Like, it looked really, really disjointed. They need to sort that out against Arsenal. What I suspect might happen, though, is that Arsenal will show considerable amount more ambition than Man United did, which will then leave spaces for Liverpool, because that's much more kind of indicative of how Arsenal play compared to Man United at the moment. And then the motivation is to go top of the table at Christmas. I mean,
Liverpool were great against West Ham, and Salah.
They were.
Salah started on the bench, obviously. Szoboszlai started.
Scored,
so you're saying that perhaps leave Salah out the team?
No, I'm not saying that.
Okay.
No, I'm very much not saying that.
Right.
You asked me my opinion. Mm. Don't give me my opinion.
Okay.
I've got plenty of my own.
I know. Yeah. So I might help you.
No. I think
here's a softer, more rounded one.
No, I'm not interested. Here's a little one for you. A big hot take to take away from it.
I think
Salah will probably start the game.
Right.
Yeah.
But you've even included the word probably in that sentence.
Yeah. Okay. You've got to catch it a bit. Yeah.
True enough. Okay. Well, we shall see who wins that game. We shall see who will have Boxing Day off. Harry Kane, over in Germany, of course, at the moment, has said he will send his English friends a photo from the beach on his first proper winter break. And I like to think that it will be from an English beach.
I was about to say,
he's freezing away.
At least I'm not playing football,
yeah,
lads.
He's sort of like girding away, going, I'm bloody loving it
Tottenham
here.
Tottenham Beach.
Have you ever done the Christmas Day or New Year's Day swim?
Absolutely not.
I did once on New Year's Day.
Any good?
Brilliant.
Was it fun?
It was freezing. The conditions were preferable as much as they could.
Calm.
Be. So there was no wind, for example.
Yeah. Where about what beach was it?
Down by Lyme Regis.
Okay, that's a nudist beach, isn't it?
Solely.
It was that day.
Yeah.
That's the day it was founded.
Yeah. Very nice.
Yeah.
It people couldn't help themselves.
Yeah. All of my friends couldn't believe it, and I said it was a coincidence. And needless to say, Andy, I had the last laugh.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
I remember throwing a dart in somebody's leg before, thinking they're just going to move out the way, just joking around. I was about 20 metres away and thought, yeah, I'll just lob this one towards a said person. And they just seemed to watch it and watch it and watch it, and it went just plonk right in their leg. And I was like, you're supposed to move. I didn't do it too hard. I wasn't going to announce that to the world, but as you've asked.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Take his driver's license away from him.
Why is he just so odd?
Oh, you meant to move.
Yeah.
Just ran him over.
Why is he so weird?
I don't know, but I like it. I want more of it, and I am very confident we're going to get it.
Oh, you'll get more. Yeah, you'll get more. His life has been so different to the rest of us because he's obviously been involved in football for such a young age.
Yeah.
And so his stories you'd expect to be really boring, which of course they are, but they're also undercut with a huge amount of weirdness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like a very odd man.
I love the thought of
he's
that.
He's like someone from another planet trying to fit in, isn't he?
Yeah. Observing humans for the first time and trying to ape their behaviour.
Well, because if you throw something at somebody, they obviously don't want to be hit by it. So you're just free to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's not your fault, is it?
Yeah, it's like if you try and burgle someone's house, they're meant to stop you. But if they don't,
what are you doing, you absolute target?
Yeah. Just to further kind of emphasise the point about how weird he is, why are all his stories about throwing?
Yeah.
Because everything's a competition, right? With himself.
It. Yes. Vary it. Mm. Did you have a nice Christmas? Well, what I did was...
I threw a party.
I got this apple. Yeah. Oh, here we go again.
Yeah. I mean, we all remember the film thing, but the thing that sticks out in...
Well, that he's only seen like five films.
It's because
like
he just thinks DVDs are for throwing, probably.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Throw it in the machine.
It's a discus, come on.
We've spoken at length about how much he doesn't like films, but the thing that sticks in my mind from that story is where he talks about how with the England youth team, they would take them out and like take them to the cinema, basically just give them something to do on trips. And he'd hate it so much, he would just sit there and try to think about football instead of taking the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, clearly his attention span is not particularly high.
Yeah.
No. So he's got to throw something.
What are you saying?
Yeah, very good. European Super League time, chaps.
Yeah.
Good.
Is it though? Is it?
Talking of attention spans.
Yeah.
The European Court of Justice ruled yesterday that UEFA and FIFA cannot block a breakaway European Super League and that their monopoly of the game is unlawful.
Yeah, but when you sort of read into it at all, it also means like it's just the European Super League is not going to happen, is it? And actually things can carry on exactly as they are. It seems to be what everybody wants apart from two very angry Spanish clubs.
It says,
two very angry skint Spanish clubs. Yeah. Yes.
It says quite explicitly elsewhere in the judgment that this is not an endorsement of a Super League.
The verdict seemed like, oh, it was quite, but then you read it and you go, so it wasn't the rules that were at fault. It was the way they implemented the rules,
which they've then since changed anyway, right?
Yeah, well, apparently they needed updating. But
UEFA have already done that, haven't they? So what happens next with UEFA is nothing.
I'm not sure nothing does happen actually. Ooh. And I think if you look at a couple of things, really, basically the wording of the judgment and the structure of the new competition, which again looks very, I mean, I hate to agree with Javier Tebas, the president of La Liga, but it does still look kind of back of a fag packet sort of business. You watch that little film,
it's bad.
As well as it looking like an 80s marketing film, there's also far more questions than answers to actually come from.
It looks like the start of a Black Mirror episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does a little, doesn't it? But I think you can. Miguel Delaney said quite rightly on OTC that both sides would claim victory. He said this before the verdict. Whatever happens, both sides will claim victory. And that's sort of what we're getting. Because I think if you look at the formatting of it and how much it actually resembles the new Champions League in many ways, and you know, it could always be argued that the new Champions League format from September is Super League by stealth. I think it's the fact that this was never about, as Florentino Perez really grandly said, it was saving football, breathing life into European football, all this sort of stuff. It was about the right to organise your own competitions and the right to find bigger sources of funding. That's all it was ever about. It's not about the format. And that's why they've come back with something like the Super League. To frame it as a sporting concept is not right. It's just not like that. But I think you can disagree with what Real Madrid and Barcelona are doing and also look at this and look at this judgment and say, you know what? The fact that UEFA and FIFA are governing bodies and they're also tournament organisers is a complete conflict of interest. And football is very, very bad at recognising conflicts
of
interest.
Fair. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. We are going to talk a bit more about this from a slightly different angle on the mailbag, I believe. So
yeah, why have they named the competitions like their Mario Kart competitions?
Oh, it sounds like...
That's good, at least.
Perfect Star way Cup. Of putting it. It sounds like people who've never watched a game of football have been challenged to come up with a sort of project, essentially.
But they've gone like, oh, so we're going to go for the... We're going to go for the usual kind of Olympic type thing. Yeah, yeah. Star, gold and blue. No. It's already there. Gold. Yeah. If you're going to do that, do gold, silver and bronze. Everyone gets it.
Absolutely.
Imagine saying that your team is the...
Don't do bronze in football.
Yeah, maybe
I think
not.
That's it, isn't it? But where does blue come in, though?
Exactly. Mm. Oh, we're the European Champions brackets blue competition. What?
Yeah.
It's fucking embarrassing.
But also, the idea that they put forward is that it's based
that's
on
the worst bit about
sporting merit, and it's this and it's that, and it's really open, it's really free. But if you are, say, Real Madrid, who are one of the teams leading the charge on it, to actually get relegated out of it would take you, what, three seasons? Where you play abysmally in every one of those seasons? So we'd all love to see it.
Yeah, it'd be like South American relegation. It would be a River Plate, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it'd take forever.
But also, just to pick up briefly on what Andy's saying, you know, they're also, the coverage is sort of misses the point anyway. I understand the governance issue and I understand why there's potentially a conflict of interest and, you know, perhaps this is an issue that needs solving more generally. But the reality is the Super League didn't happen not because of incorrect governance.
No.
It's not happened because people don't want it. No. It's not happened because German clubs don't want it for different reasons. Fans in this country and elsewhere don't want it and will never accept it. You know, as soon as the judgment came out, about half an hour later, Man United released a statement saying, you know, it doesn't change anything for us.
Yeah.
So it's not going to happen anyway for a number of different reasons. What it seems is going to be the case, as you've touched on, Andy, is that perhaps you'll get to a situation where, you know, the Champions League or whatever it may be, European competition, isn't going to be administered by another company, basically, which is essentially what it seems like the whole thing is compromising towards, right? But then UEFA will probably fight tooth and nail to stop that happening.
But
that's
the point about the ruling was, obviously UEFA and FIFA, as we've said, they can't block the Super League, but I believe, you know, in European law, it can still be blocked.
Yeah, it would still need to be approved under competition law, which is what the whole thing is about.
Yeah.
But I think the bottom line is, as you said, how can you have a European Super League with just Barcelona and Real Madrid in it. I think everything changed so much in the first failed attempt. I think what Luke was saying about all the English clubs, and particularly you look at Manchester United coming out, because they're really worried about how it will look in front of the fans after what happened first time. They're really worried about that fan backlash. And it's amazing that this happened 3.5 years ago. But actually, like what those largely English fans did has still had an amazing effect. And I think it's worth thinking about for fans.
We should never forget that, genuinely.
Yeah, I agree.
We, as I said earlier, we will be talking more about the Super League on tomorrow's mailbag, because one listener...
But don't let that put you off.
No, but, but I did say a slightly different angle, because one listener has asked us whether English football could actually be better with a Super League. Tune in tomorrow to find out what we think about that. Gentlemen, back to the Premier League. Luton Town host Newcastle United in a key clash for their relegation survival, of course. We're talking about relegation already because it's that time of the year where we think, oh, who's top at Christmas and who's down the bottom at Christmas as well. But obviously the big news coming out of Luton Town's camp at the moment is Tom Lockyer was released from hospital on Thursday morning. So obviously we wish all the best to him. And Luton have quite rightly said, look, we're not going to give a sort of an up-to-date account of how he gets on. So we'll sort of leave that there, of course. And as I say, everybody wishes him well, of course. But good that he's been released from hospital. Also been agreed that the Bournemouth and Luton game will be replayed in full later on this season.
More games.
Well, yeah.
You got 60 minutes of football there, but it doesn't count for anything. So
it's interesting, because
it
in Spain...
it's replayed from when it stopped.
Because I just remember there was a Real Madrid game that stopped in the 84th minute. I can't remember why. Didn't they all go back for 6 minutes or something?
There's a famous cup final in the 90s between Depor and Valencia where there was an absolute deluge, so I had to call the game off, and they all came back for the remaining 8 minutes.
So it used to be the case...
Can you imagine that?
For a cup final.
Didn't it used to be the case that if it stops... I'm not talking about the Tom Lockyer situation, which of course was horrific and more things than football matches. But as a general discussion point, didn't it used to be the case that if it... I don't know if it still is in this country, but if it went beyond 75 minutes, the result stood?
I don't know.
I think they did.
Might have been. That does ring a bell.
Yeah. Anyway, we wish him all the best, of course.
We certainly do.
The most important thing is his health, of course.
Yes. Mm. Nottingham Forest host Bournemouth in Nuno Espirito Santo's first game in charge.
The Nuno Forest, you said in the intro. I didn't think about that. I do like it because I'm from near that part of the world and it's a very beautiful forest.
Oh, yeah, you are, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was getting it mixed up with the Cotswolds geography.
I'd love it if they renamed it the Nuno Forest.
No, you wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't.
You'd be chained to a tree protesting.
Again.
Yeah, why are you chained to a tree? It's just a name change. It's symbolism.
Yeah.
Chop the tree
harmless
down.
Harmless sponsorship.
Actually, New Forest is more really Southampton territory, so I wouldn't get involved anyway. I wouldn't go there.
Is that why they've got the tree and the badge?
I wouldn't. It might be. I wouldn't venture that part of the world, really.
It's too beautiful.
It's very. It needs to be untouched. It needs to remain untouched.
Why don't you chop it all down? Seems very in vogue at the moment to chop trees down unnecessarily. Well, yes, so Bournemouth are going to the City Ground to face those tricky trees, and we'll hope to chop them down in a way, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Will Steve Cooper be topless in the Bournemouth away end, as predicted on Ramble Reacts?
I really hope so. I think you're onto something there. Megaphone.
Yeah, because it's quite mild out for this time of year.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that's what he's thinking, is it?
Yeah,
is
it? Get yourself in the trench.
I wouldn't have done this, but it's actually
it
very warm.
Temperate.
Yeah.
I think the Forest fans would understand it and go, that's fair enough.
So the big rumour today is the aforementioned Roy the Boy Hodgson, when he inevitably steps down in the summer,
swoops down
off his perch, Steve Cooper may slot in there.
Yeah,
it seems like a nice fit, doesn't it?
It does.
They're looking for an upwardly mobile young manager. They tried it before, didn't quite work out for them. Steve Cooper will walk into another Premier League job.
Absolutely.
Not at the very, very top end, but he will definitely get one.
Mm.
Crystal Palace seems like a lovely fit for him. So, Steve, if you're listening, don't take your top off and get into the Bournemouth end because it might sully your excellent reputation. and if you are going to do it, maybe pat a big eagle on your chest.
Don't do that. You look like a proper nutter. But I would like to see him do... what would it be? The 23rd of December, they swim in the Trent.
That'd be nice. Yeah. Swim up it, yeah. Or walk on it like Brian Clough used to. Yeah.
Apparently he did.
Yeah.
But we don't know. We didn't have social media at the time. Bournemouth, of course, are the form team in the league right now. Since losing 6-1 at Manchester City, they've won 4 and drawn 1 of their last 5 games. Incredible that any point of this season, Jim, that Bournemouth are the form team.
Yeah, well, so this is an amazing test of the form team versus the new manager bounce. So that's going to be absolutely fascinating contest.
You love a new manager bounce. Well, doesn't always happen.
Well, it doesn't always happen, but it's an interesting thing to behold, isn't it? But also, I think, you know, Bournemouth were quite unlucky at the start of the season with, you know, am I right in thinking they've still not managed to get Tyler Adams or Alex Scott onto the pitch? They're two sort of marquee signings, and Iriola was always going to take a little bit of time. He's clearly got some talent in that squad. He seems to have really unlocked Dominic Solanke as well in a way that a lot of managers have tried to do.
Yep. I didn't think he had it in him. I genuinely didn't think that as well, but clearly
he's starting to deliver on the promise that a lot of managers saw in him.
But Andy, and some other people were talking about how, you know, it was like Iriola was doing an okay job, they just weren't getting the results, and you thought this would come, right?
Yeah, but having said that, clearly he was very, very close to getting the push.
Right.
Because of those results.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in the Premier League, you just can't go that long without getting a result. You know, those are empty words, basically. I think in terms of this, it's a very difficult fixture for Forest at this point in time. And I think if you're a neutral Forest watcher, you're thinking, oh, at least they've done this in time for the winter window. They've done it in time to be the main protagonists of the winter window, haven't they? All over again. I mean, there is nothing as certain as that they're going to come by 10 players.
Yeah, but Nuno already said in his opening press conference, it's going to take me ages to get to know all these players. There's like way too many of them.
Especially
already.
When 10 new ones turn up in January.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to how they operate in the window.
Obviously, that whole part of it, the recruitment part of it, will have nothing to do with them. And of course, he's fine with that because he's used to that sort of situation.
Get Connor Cody back in Nuno's grip.
In his grip?
Yeah. Get him back in there.
Like it. Mm-hmm. I think the player they want back is Awoniyi, right? But he's out for till March.
Can't sign him, though.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Yeah. I mean, if someone could sign him, Marinakis would probably try to sign him again.
I mean, that's the most difficult thing, isn't it? For a club of that sort of standing to go and get a goal scorer in January that's going to keep you in the division.
Yeah. Difficult.
Like that. That is the most difficult transfer window task.
Mm. Yes, it is. You're absolutely right. Absolutely right, Andy. Before we move on, former Bournemouth boss Gary O'Neill will no doubt be delighted, of course, Wolves are playing Chelsea on Christmas Eve. Chelsea.
This is a home game for him.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Chelsea would be more disappointed, although Chelsea do have a dubious penalty to look forward to.
Well, I was about to say, if Chelsea get an absolute present in the last minute of the game on Christmas Eve, I'm going to have to go to Gary O'Neill's house myself.
Yeah.
And say, look, it's going to be okay.
Sky are going to have a graphic ready for it because it's such an inevitability.
Yeah. Little present graphic.
Yeah, I think so.
Gary O'Neill's in there looking sad.
I want Wolves to win the game, I'll be honest with you, because I want Gary O'Neill to have a nice Christmas.
We all do.
Don't we all?
We absolutely all do.
And I want him to have a so solid Christmas.
We also want Chelsea to get into Christmas in the bottom half, don't we?
Oh, I think so.
Yeah, I'd be up for that. Yeah. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. I'd be up for any team other than my own being in the bottom half. All of them.
It's touch and go. Yeah. Fulham could potentially get out of there as well.
So Fulham have got more leg room in the top half.
Fulham can win
stretch
the league
out.
Finishing ninth. <We're in the bottom laughs> Yeah. Oh, dear. Gentlemen, before we get on to our ACCA, I want to bring this to the table. We're going to Scotland. It's been long overdue.
We did it on Wednesday. Yeah, 3 days.
I'd say that's overdue.
We literally had no recorded opportunity to do it more since the last time we did it. So it's been too long, yeah.
Well, Ross County, we're particularly talking about this time. They don't often get a mention on the show, but my goodness, Derek Adams has ensured that they do today. He had quite a sensational rant about the standard of Scottish football after he signs 1-0 to defeat to Dundee last weekend.
Before we play it, can I just say, if you want context of how sensational it is, I watched it in the kitchen of my house, I watched it again, and then I called my wife in to watch it with me a third time.
Now, bear with us, because the clip we're going to play is 1 minute and 13 seconds long. In it, it's about a quarter of
the original one's about 4.5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We had to obviously edit it down for you, but please, like, just get a load of this.
Derek, a disappointing way to lose the game this afternoon. Your assessment on today's defeat against Dundee?
Yeah, I mean, we were the better side in the afternoon. We had the better chances throughout the afternoon. We had most of the play. We created some good openings. We should have been ahead in the game. But that takes nothing away from the fact that the game was really poor. The standard is shocking. Really, it's one of the worst games I've ever seen. It's just, I've been back here and I see the standard and I think, wow. Any chance? If I'm a spectator and watching that today, I'm thinking, is this what Scottish football's about? It needs to get up its game. And if I'm a paying customer at this moment in time, I'm not coming back to watch that, I tell you that.
And I suppose from your own point of view, you can influence that in terms of making Ross County a good team to watch.
We're trying, but, you know, choices on the pitch, you know, you've got to be better on the ball, you've got to be better executor. And, you know, I've left a team down in League Two that's miles better than this team. Miles. And that's saying something. You know, we had the bottom budget in League Two and we're 100 times better than this. 100 times.
I mean, absolutely astonishing.
It really He's only been there a month.
It's incredible. I love it how it snowballed so quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, it was shocking. The standard was... Why are people coming to pay to watch this?
It's like an existential crisis unfolding before our very ears.
I can't believe it, honestly. And he was asked about his comments and, you know, would you like to maybe, you know...
Well, no, because then the Scottish football experts came out and said, yeah, he regrets saying that. Yeah. You know, is he going to
Do you know what he said? I stand by it.
Yeah, what he actually
said... Did he double dune?
He's quadrupling dune.
What he actually said was, I'm trying to get us moving up the league, trying to push the players on. People can say that's maybe devaluing them, etc., but I'm trying to get them moving forward and get them thinking. Get them thinking.
Get them thinking. They're absolute garbage.
It's top. It's absolutely top.
Oh, man, amazing. Look, I hope there's more to come. Yeah. I really do.
Well, maybe we'll keep an eye on Derek and Ross County.
He's got something of a checker past himself anyway with different bits and pieces happening where he's been managing.
Is that right?
So keep an eye out for future transgressions, I would say. Anyway,
are you going to call him a good footballing man then?
He's a proper footballing man. None of this laptop business. Anyway, it's now time for the Ramble Acker with Betfair. With Betfair this season, you can build your football accumulator with their 90-minute payout, where all winning selections will be paid out at 90 minutes on their match odds 90 markets, regardless of what happens in added time. And if you know one thing about the Premier League this season, anything could happen in added time. So you don't have to worry about that. Today and every Friday, we build an acca of our four match odds 90 bets from across the Premier League. Marcus, you are on a hat-trick this week.
Come on.
You got back on the horse, two wins in a row. And who have you gone for this weekend?
Fulham to beat Burnley.
Hold your breath for that one.
Yeah.
That'll be a pretty safe one, I would say.
I mean, Fulham, you know, they got battered by Newcastle. It was a bad time, so you know it's all to play for.
It is all to play for, but I think they've got a good chance. Let's say, Jim, who have you gone for?
I've gone for Nottingham Forest to beat Bournemouth. Mm. I'm going to put the new manager bounce to the test. It's a little bit of a tricky one because, as we said, Bournemouth are in really, really good form. But I've got a suspicion that the new manager bounce is very powerful.
The Nuno manager bounce, Jim. Mm.
So Forest to beat Bournemouth, Andy.
I've gone for Liverpool to beat Arsenal.
Snake.
Oh.
I got a little snake emoji from Jim on WhatsApp from that.
Well, Jim, you've got 7 out of 15 correct so far. It's just under 50%. Andy, you've got 6 out of 11, so just over 50%. So it's a very, very similar record, both of you. So Liverpool to beat Arsenal, that's the big game of the weekend, of course. I'll round things off by telling you all that I think Spurs will beat Everton. And my record at the moment is 7 out of 12, so not doing too badly. So in summary, Fulham to win, Nottingham Forest to win, Liverpool to win, and Spurs to win. A £10 bet with Betfair on that returns £144.05. And all that money, if we win, we'll go to Prostate Cancer UK. Don't forget, for every stoppage time goal in the Premier League this weekend, Betfair are donating £10 to Prostate Cancer Care. Prostate Cancer UK, sorry. We've already raised over £400 this season alone just from that. So remember, with Betfair this season, when you place a bet on their match odds 90 markets, your winning bet is paid out in full at 90 minutes. Any bets that are winning at 90 minutes but are then undone by stoppage time drama will not be affected. And that's the same for our Ramble Acca every week too. Exclusive to Betfair Sportsbook. T's and C's apply. 18 plus only. And for more information on responsible gambling, head to begambleaware.org.
It's time.
Come on! Come on! Come on!
An encyclopedia of football.
I don't know what that means.
I know this is many years too late for this, but can you show a bit of decorum?
I'm pumped. I'm absolutely pumped. I've got the listenership behind me. Twitter's been amazing all week. They've been so supportive. So I can't wait to let them down.
Well, I think that's as good as it's going to get for you. It's a simple game of categories.
Andy, can I sort of stop you there? I would bite your hand off right now for a Jim Campbell win.
Oh, because you're lineal, you're lineal champion.
If Jim wins today, I'll be all right with that.
Fucking pathetic. It's what I have to deal with.
You know what this is like? It's like
ABL.
It's like the last week of school before Christmas, where it's a quiz or you're watching a pirate copy of E.T. and everyone's being really naughty.
So the title's
you
not on the line.
You three are going to be uncontrollable. And I know what you're Friday speller. You're not just any day of the week speller. You're Friday speller. I'm watching you.
What a lot of the people on Twitter have been saying to me is, how come Luke never gets to go first in the first round?
That's what they've asked me.
Really?
Well, it's, mind games,
it's a simple
early.
Game Absolutely. Of categories.
Andy's choice. Andy's in charge, everybody. Andy chooses.
It's a simple game of categories. If you go too slow, I'll pay Gary Neville's orgasm, which will leave you 7 seconds. Marcus won a tiebreaker last week, of course, to take the lineal belt away from Vish and go top of the table.
Oh,
we'll
have
to see
well.
If that happens again. And Jim is going to go first.
Fuck it, I never get to go first. I yep. never get to go for Marcus. Even you must be a lot.
This is, I think you have a point.
Due,
there. Yeah. You do
this
have a
is
point
due
there.
To the. Right, you two have both lost already. This is due to the seat in which you sit. I prefer to sit in that seat. If you were sitting here, I always go to the person to my left.
Right, good to know
so
for next time.
So you'll know for next time. Yeah. Anyway, the
Jim
category one.
See that towel on the back of that?
Yeah. It's like he arrived with a tent and a bottle of Pimm's.
Jim, it's like Rod Stewart tickets for Jim. It's back in there at 4 a.m. Right, let's go.
Right, English clubs Ooh. That have won an international trophy. There are 14 answers.
An international? Sorry, European competition?
Yeah, European competition.
Okay. Not the World Cup. You can't say West Ham winning the World Cup, okay?
Yeah. Stop giving us answers.
English clubs that have won an international continental trophy.
Man City.
Manchester United.
It's your turn now, Luke.
Liverpool.
Chelsea.
Arsenal.
Oh, this is good pace.
Nottingham Forest.
Oh, like that.
Aston Villa.
Oh, you fucking wanker. That was my good one.
West Ham.
It's Torres. Ooh.
Spurs.
Very good.
Ipswich Town.
Love
Ooh,
that.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah.
Everton?
This is an exemplary round.
How many left?
Can't be many.
There can't be. How many left, Andy?
One.
Let's have a bit of Gary now.
Two.
Andy.
Three.
It's Torres to give Chelsea a place in the Champions League final.
Newcastle.
That was
oh,
one. That was
very
one.
Good.
Thanks.
Bollocks, I'm out.
Fulham? Is that three-way intercontinental?
Yes.
Oh, he's a listener. He's a listener.
There can't so be any left.
So there's one left.
There's one to go.
Wolverhampton Wanderers. Some people would argue against that.
Yeah, Honved.
They're not
yeah,
in here, though, are they?
They would.
They're not in here.
Unofficial one. No.
So what's the situation? Because there's one team left.
So that's...
There's one to go.
And Jim went first.
Yes, so it's just as well I got that wrong.
Okay, so I've got to get this right to tie it up.
Yeah.
I mean, look, filibustering won't stop me playing this.
Portsmouth, Anglo-Italian Cup.
Oh!
Anglo-Italian Cup.
Oh, that's very good, but...
Fuck's sake. Doesn't count.
It's a shame.
Leeds United.
Oh!
We're missing one.
Mother.
Oh, so it's one for Jim...
Well done, Jim.
And I'm surprised you're not protesting against that.
Well, it's not a major trophy, is it?
What Intertoto is?
Well, it's top flight trophy.
Okay.
Yeah. The Anglo-Italian Cup, look, as much as I'd like to claim it,
okay.
Right? I'm also not sure they actually won it. Let's leave it here and move on to the next two. I'll just leave you with this.
Fair enough.
They definitely competed in it.
Yeah. I'm really annoyed that I said the other day that Fulham won the Intertoto.
Yeah.
Let's not undercut next week's category, which is English clubs that have won an international trophy where there was a punch up at the end involving all the staff.
Yeah.
Right. So 1-0 to Jim.
Shit. Poor start by me. But that was a good standard.
Yeah. Very good.
So.
Leeds, of course, won the Intercities Fairs Cup twice. Mm. The predecessor to the UEFA Cup. So 1-0 to Jim. Category number two, players who were in either squad for Manchester United 4, Newcastle United 3 on Boxing Day 2012. That was Sir Alex Ferguson's final Boxing Day game.
Squad? In
yes.
either squad?
Okay. There are 36 answers, okay. therefore.
Jesus, this is tough.
Who's and first? Marcus is first.
He might well have been suspended, but I'll go for Wayne Rooney.
That could not be better news for me, that.
Unbelievable.
Jeez, okay.
This is annoying. And
there are some names on here, is all I can tell
Darren
you.
Fletcher.
Very good.
David De Gea.
God, that's the only other name I had.
See, sometimes not good go first, because you'd have probably had Rooney as well.
Yeah.
There are some big names in here, and there are some weird names.
Let's try with Anderson.
Oh, I don't know about that.
It's good. It's not right.
Jim for the win.
So Robin Van Persie, was he fit?
Jim!
Oh, fucking...
What are you going for
Anderson for?
I'm never going to win.
Yeah.
I'm never going to win this game.
Dear. Now, Jim may not see it like that, and that's his right not to, but I feel like the Liberal Democrats right now. the Liblab coalition is one in my eyes.
What a glorious victory.
What year was Anderson at United?
Oh, I mean, 1982.
He won the Champions League. He scored a penalty in the shootout in 2008.
Yeah.
I'm just not very good at, I'm not very good at the timing of
it's
that.
Hard.
I, you say 10 years ago. To me, it doesn't really mean anything.
Mm, well, clearly.
Because I'm ageless.
well done, Jim Campbell.
Thanks.
I didn't even come close this week.
Has the lineal title at Christmas.
Well done, mate.
Nice.
Like Arsenal.
I needed that.
A good portent for Arsenal.
We'll see, won't we?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Well, thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betfair, part of the Acast Creator Network. Do join us tomorrow for that mailbag, everybody. Follow us on Twitter, currently known as X, TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram at Football Ramble. And don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app. The keys are in the lock. The gate is open because it's Christmas, everybody!
It's Christmas!
Have a couple of days extra.
Yeah.
For your bad selves. Say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Go fuck yourself.
Say goodbye, Andy Brassel.
I'm off to find Santa's special key.
Nice it.
Say happy Christmas, Jim Campbell.
Have a brilliant Christmas, everybody.
Absolutely right. See you on the mailbag.
Santa's special key. Sounds a bit pedo.
Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
The Championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app
and hit subscribe.